Right now we've got some cloudy skies outside the studios of AM 930 WEOL in downtown Elyria. Hopefully there's no rain on the way. Well, you know what? Three straight days of sunshine, we can't get greedy. But we can get greedy when it comes to our guests. We feel like we were cheated by a phone connection with our Hollywood guru, Mr. Al Hollywood Harris. So let's bring Al back in. Al, as you were, my friend, we were discussing Samuel L. Jackson being upset over the Spider-Man Far From Home promotional poster. We didn't quite catch anything that you said when you were giving us your answers, so let's let you start from the beginning, my man.
It's not going to be as good as the first time because I was throwing out heat, but here we go. So, basically, we can't really think too much into him using the expletives because, as I said, I don't think there's any actor in the history of the medium that is more associated with the F word than Samuel L. Jackson. So I think that's just par for the course with him, which I love. Take what you will. But he got upset because of a very easy Photoshop error. They put the eye patch on the wrong eye, and he caught it and, you know, had some fun with it. I don't think he's actually angry. I think he's just having some fun with it. I definitely think that poor graphic designer is out of a job, though, because of that. But, it was basically, you know, just an easy Photoshop error and something they should have known because there's nothing more iconic to Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury than that eye patch. So that's something they probably should have caught. It's kind of crazy that they didn't, but I'm sure they'll fix it and put it back out.
Makes perfect sense. Photoshop can get people in trouble if it's not used the right way, but thought that was interesting. That certainly made the rounds on all the social media platforms. But we'll transition now into something maybe a little bit lighter. I was really excited to see this, and it's kind of gotten some mixed reviews. Holy moly. Basically combat mini golf with a great deal of comedy mixed in there as well. Looks really interesting. One of my favorite guys, Rob Riggle, is involved with this. Should I temper my expectations with this? Do you think this is something that could stick for a little while, or is this just too goofy to last?
Well, the good sign is that it did win the night the other night. Was the highest rated show, network show for the night. So, yeah, I think it could be around for a little bit. It's only a 10-episode type mini thing, but it's kind of like the perfect, stupid summer watch. They're really leaning really hard into it. Yeah, for those that don't know, it is pretty much American Ninja Warrior meets mini golf. So there's some golfing and there's some obstacle coursing through the mini golf courses. They're kind of having it both ways. They're leaning into the comedy and also it being a real sports venture, right? You have Joe Tessitore, who used to call Monday Night Football, calling the action with Rob Riggle. So you have both there. And then you have Steph Curry as, I guess, the golf pro. I'm not really sure how that works, but they're definitely leaning in towards it being serious, but also like poking fun at all these type of things. So, yeah, I think it could work. It's gotten – the reviews I've read were like, it's a very fun, dumb summer show. And, you know, could use some tweaks to be even better, but – in the summer, you're not really looking for, you know, huge critic reviews or, like, award-winning programming. You're just putting something on and hoping people watch it in their downtime. And so far, they have. Like I said, it beat out all the other shows that night. So, as long as it keeps those ratings up, we might be able to see a second season of Holy Moly.
Apparently, Steph Curry's actually a pretty solid golfer. And he was on display there in that first episode, too. He had to hit the ball for somebody.
Huh.
The chick who actually ended up winning the episode. Kind of fascinating.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So, what did he, like, pinch putt? Is that what he did?
He had to chip it over, like, a little pool and into, like, a basketball court type thing. But they had a robot. It was part of it. You got to see it. It's kind of weird to see. But it was sort of a fascinating show. I don't know how many more episodes I'll watch, but if you're bored on a Thursday night, it's worth taking a peek.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, while we're on the topic of shows like that.
I watched this one, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, show that
you should talk about it, man.
My Thursday night was this hyped up last week.
Okay. Well, Same question, different show. Should we be excited about Fox's new game show, Spin the Wheel? How is this different than other game shows?
Well, it didn't do as well as Holy Moly, so that should tell you something. I don't know, man. I'm kind of... I get it. Like, especially the summertime, let's get all these game shows up on primetime. They're even redoing the old ones, like Press Your Luck with Elizabeth Banks. That I'm more excited for than this. I don't know. I'm not a big Dax Shepard guy to begin with. He just always comes off a little smarmy to me. Now, if his wife was hosting it, I'd be all in. But he doesn't do much for me. And the whole concept, it's just spinning the wheel. It's like a form of, I guess, Wheel of Fortune, kind of. I don't really know, man. I'm just, for me, I can't get excited at all. Like, I think they're trying to do too much of these. I thought it was funny when, like, redoing the match game with Alec Baldwin, maybe Press Your Luck with Elizabeth Banks, but now they're doing all these new games. Ellen's got hers. I think Guy Fieri had one at one point. Like, anyone they can get, let's give them a game show and see what happens. And, I mean, I'll tell you this. It's probably better than just doing reruns all summer long, and probably better than doing, like, because no one wants to watch, like, a gritty crime drama in the summertime, right? So I get why they do this. It's just not for me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's step into the box office here for just a second, my friend. Please explain to me how Toy Story 4 opening up at right around $118 million domestically can be considered disappointing.
Well, it easily, when it was projected to make $150 million, when it performed less than Finding Dory and Incredibles 2, that while it's obviously, it's a good number. It's just not what they anticipated. And the fact that it got beat out by Finding Dory is not a good thing. Finding Dory was not a good movie and not something anyone was really clamoring for. Incredibles 2 was great. People wanted Incredibles, so that makes sense. I think people may have just been... A lot of people, like, I heard up going up to this, they're like, oh, you know, Toy Story finalized on such a good, like, trilogy. Why would they do a fourth one? Like, it ended well. I think people were just like... fatigued with the whole Toy Story thing, which makes sense to me, and just people weren't as interested in four Toy Stories. But again, the reviews were immaculate. They said it was even better than the third one. So I think it's going to be a slow mover. Like, obviously didn't do as well as anticipated the first weekend, but I definitely think the overall numbers will definitely beat Finding Dory and come closer to Incredibles 2. But again, Incredibles 2 was like, that was rumored for years. It took a while to come out. Everyone was excited for a sequel. It's hard to get excited for a fourth of anything, unless it's like a known thing like Harry Potter, where you knew there'd be seven of them, right? So you get excited for the fourth one. It's a series. You want to see how it ends. This is just like, oh, let's throw another sequel out. But these are done so well, the characters are so great, the acting performances are amazing, that it's not a shock it did as well, even though the trailers didn't get people as excited. People just, the hype for this one seemed very low for a Pixar movie, so I think that's got something to do with it. But like I said, I think it'll, at the end of the day, it's going to do pretty huge numbers.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point, though. I think the end of the third one kind of had that finality to it. It was Andy kind of passing the toys on to the next person in line, and it almost is kind of scary. Because Scrubs, I always thought, the eighth season ended in such a great way, and then they made that stupid ninth season, and you kind of have to remember it was there, but you don't really want to. I almost feel like it's that approach.
I don't think we ever have to mention that season again.
Yeah, exactly.
But the difference with this is, right, it had all the same people.
Yeah.
You still have Tom Hanks. You still have, and I think this is the first one without Lasseter involved, so that was, like, wondering if it was going to do well. And the funny thing is I'm reading a lot of, after how good this movie was, I'm reading a lot of revisionist history on Toy Story 3 that it's not actually a good movie, it just ended well.
Yeah.
So
I'd agree with that statement, though.
I actually would, too. I didn't understand the love for it, but yeah, I'm excited for this one. Especially the reviews are just out of this world. A lot of people are saying that it's better than the third one. So I don't know, man. Hopefully, though, they take this one, they see how it did, And as someone who hasn't seen it yet, I don't know how they end it, if it's a good ending point. But I think we're good to let Toy Story go for now, for a while. Maybe, you know, years they want to bring one back. But I think it's we've reached our point with Toy Story 4. I'd like to see Pixar going back to original material again. I loved Inside Out, and I'd love to see them do more stuff like that instead of just throwing out sequels, which they've done for the past 2 years. But again, we'll see what happens.
All right, my man, we've reached that time in the interview where we need to get your picks to click. What should we be watching this week?
This week kind of sucks. It's summertime. What are you going to do, right? You should get out of the house, not just sit in front of the TV and watch. But I'm going to do that anyway, so I should probably shut my mouth. But Legion comes back tonight. It's always a fun watch. It's out there. It's crazy. It's on FX. It started as a superhero show. I think it still is. It's nutty. I like it a lot. I recommend it. And then something I was really excited for, the reviews aren't good, but I'm still into it. It's a Showtime show, a miniseries, I think, called The Loudest Voice. Premieres on Sunday. It's created by the director of Spotlight, Thomas McCarthy, who I really like his stuff. It's about Roger Ailes, the chairman of Fox, who got fired over all the, you know, who basically brought Fox News up to where it was and then got fired for a lot of sexual harassment claims. But it stars Russell Crowe as Roger Ailes, completely unrecognizable. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of still into it. It's got a great cast, great creators. Even though the reviews haven't been great, I think I'll still give it a check.
Good stuff, Al. We appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Al, again. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.